That's the only place God speaks. Only place you can hear. I'll ask you to turn to Philippians chapter number 3. I know I've been here, not in these particular verses or specific subject. I trust the Lord will make it somewhat effectual for you. I see that most of you overlooked my mistake closing when I told you I'd see you Sunday night, and you figured, well, he meant Wednesday night. So I'm glad you can read beyond words. If the truth be known, and had you known the darkness, the mental weakness, anguish, stress, and the strain that I've been under for some time now, if you got anything Sunday, you would be amazed, or you would acknowledge the Lord had to help. I was not capable of speaking. And if you had you known and not thought that the Lord would help, you would have asked me to please keep my seat. You would do something different for the service. But at the same time, I know that there are times when you come and you are under a similar weight, a load as hearers, and it is hard for you to hear. So I'm very conscious of that also. At best, we are feeble creatures. Philippians chapter 3. To begin with, we'll read verses 2 and 3, maybe 4 through 6 later on. But I want to speak to you what Paul said about himself. I hope that you can apply it to yourself. In verse 3, have no confidence in the flesh. Now that was his statement about himself. I don't have any confidence in me. Would you join with me as we seek the Lord? Our Father, you're very gracious and you're very kind and merciful to us to allow us the opportunity to assemble again. And all here having faculties of hearing, of reasoning, of understanding. Now that's in the natural man, of course. But would you grant that in the heart created and being formed in the very image of Christ our Lord? and give that which is necessary to rightly declare and to rightly understand, and the Spirit of God to help us in personal, practical application. Glorify your great name and honor Christ Jesus in our midst. We pray in his name. Amen. Philippians 3:2. Beware of dogs. Now he's not talking about the breeds. Beware of the breeds of dogs that could create or could bodily harm you. He's talking about those who were in the way and have turned again to their own vomit. Now, one does not have to be outside the realm of the professing church to having turned back. You might sit here for the rest of your lives and yet in mind and heart go back to an easier way of life in Christ, forsaking some of the doctrines that you might now hold. You can sit here the rest of your life and yet in mind go back and regurgitate that which you now say you believe. Beware of evil workers. Again, do not think that that is always outside the walls of the local assembly. You just got to read the letters to the churches in Revelation to find out. There are a lot of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence. One other time where the word confidence is used 4 or 5 times with the same meaning as it is here, but one other time it is translated trust. I have no trust in the flesh. Also, I dare not, and I cannot trust me. Saul of Tarsus was a very, very confident man. Well, let's go ahead and read verses 4-6. And he lists the reasons why he might trust in himself and why he might have confidence in himself. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And they boasted of keeping the law in its entirety. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now in the 1960s, well, it actually began in the 1950s. 1952, Norman Vincent Peale came out with what became a very popular book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And in the 60s, following in the footsteps of that, pastor out in Texas, the big church, wrote on the power of positive praying. And another on the power of positive evangelism. And another on the power of a positive attitude. And so it just has continued to trickle down till we've produced a society that believe in themselves. And what we've had put out in books by pastors has put everything back into the hands of men. And now the broad thinking is that we are masters of our own fate. We are the captain of our own ship. And you've been told that the world is yours to conquer. All you got to do is put forth human effort, and you can conquer and overcome all things. And the loud voice from the church over the last generations has been, just believe and you can have, or this that I hate, name it or claim it, name it, claim it, and it's yours. If I believed in luck, I'd wish you good luck on that one. When it comes to deep needs within your soul. And in a very loud voice, this has left us where God has turned over once again everything back into the hands of man. And man is of such importance, and he's endowed with such tremendous power and ability that he can run his life. He can do whatever he sets his mind to do because of the ability that God has given man. And such literature has produced the psychological thinking that has placed man far above who and what he really is. Taking it out of the hands of God and put it back into the hands of men. Now, you often hear, those of you that like sports, you often hear coaches' speeches. You've got to believe in yourself. And that's true. Because no athlete could perform his or her duties as an athlete if there was not confidence in them that they could do it. And if there was not a trust in the system that the coaches had instilled in them. But if they're thinking that believing like this is faith, which most do, they're far, far from base. I mean, you can tell a young man that runs a 100-meter dash in 10.2s. seconds, 10.3 seconds. Now, son, if you just believe in yourself, you can run that in 10 seconds. Well, he can believe all he wants to, but that's not going to make him any faster. But have they not gathered that from preachers that have come up with all this power of positive thinking and prayer, evangelism, attitude? And this has placed man almost, we won't go so far as to say equal with God, but you might as well, it's placed man in an exalted position where he's almost equal with God. And most think God is limited depending on man letting him do. If you will let God, he will do these things. Now, he can't save you unless you cooperate. He can't deliver you from your sins unless you let him. That's exactly the same as saying that a baby can't be born except without his permission. The baby's got a will to be born. Well, you say, I wouldn't take it that far. You might want to take it that far, because that's what we've done to God. God can't do anything unless you let him. We've limited the power of God. We've elevated man to that exalted position. And therefore, you have no worship. Because just, if he's even this, just one rung on the ladder above man's ability and man's power. You know the term that described man before the flood? There was giants in the land. When the sons of God or the daughters of God, I can't remember how I may have it vice versa, married the sons of men or the daughters of men. When that race which had been commanded to be separate and marry in their own tribe and in their own nation, when they saw the daughters of men were fair, then they skipped over and you got an ungodly man marrying what's supposed to be a child of God. And all of a sudden you got all these giants in their own thinking created. And as it was in the days before the flood, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And society has been trying to instill a self-confident attitude into everybody. You can become whatever you want to be, you just got to set your mind to do that you want to do. And man becoming strong, wise, important, he's able to conquer himself. And he's able to conquer anything before him. Now that's the attitude and that's the thinking of the day. Conquered one sin in you. Just one. You can't do it. You don't have that power. You don't have that ability, no matter what we're told. The truth is, all of us are weak. All of us are helpless. All of us are in poverty before salvation. And after salvation, as far as self-confidence or self-trust, even the children of God, my heart, Psalm 73:12, and flesh faileth me. That's not a lost man. That's a child of God talking about, I don't have the strength or the ability to maintain a right heart before God. My flesh can't do that that I wish that it could do. And the only reason men can find importance, self-value, a reason to trust in themselves is due to a withdrawn spirit. And when the Spirit of God is withdrawn, that leaves all of us to climb the ladder of self-importance, self-confidence, and self-trust. And you're thinking, well, if you don't trust in yourself, you never will accomplish anything in life. I'm not talking about life. I'm talking about a spiritual walk with God. If the scriptures are ever applied to one's heart, that individual finds himself, herself, in absolute poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. I am nothing. I have nothing. And I can do nothing. As far as helping myself out of this awful pit of human depravity. And if God leaves me alone, my flesh is going to carry me down back into the pit of human depravity, and I'll be as a beast before God rather than as a man or woman that's been made to stand upright. Now, when God uses the term depravity, or I use it, or anybody else rightly uses it, it does not mean that a totally depraved man cannot be a good father, or a good husband, or a good citizen, or a good member in society. He can be all of those things, and still totally depraved. He can accomplish a lot of good in society. There's a lot of good organizations out there founded strictly for the purpose of helping other people. And a man or woman can be totally depraved before God and yet do good in helping others. So the term total depravity, it only has to do with you as far as God is concerned. You can't do what God tells you to do. You don't have the ability. I don't care how great a willpower resides in your bosom. You can't do what God tells you to do. You can't do it. Turn the other cheek. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Be careful lest bitterness spring up, corrupting you. You can't do it. Let one little single fault enter your mind, and unless God helps you, that's where you live. So I don't care how strong a will you've got, you can't overcome sin in the flesh. You can't obey God. But now let's just deal with all of us as a child of God. And the greatest said, I have no confidence in the flesh. I do not trust me in the flesh. So that means no matter the degree of progress that you may have and that you might make in the school of grace as far as growing in grace and knowledge, you can never rise to a place where you can trust yourself. Never. Well, I'll never deny you. Others may. I'll go all the way to death. And before the night was over, he had already cursed, afraid of a little maiden, and denied his Lord. Now, the more confidence that you have in yourself, the more trust that you have in yourself, the less that you have in God. The more confidence you have in God, the less you have in yourself. If you could carry out the commands of God, you'd march into glory as proud as a peacock with all its tail feathers spread and all the colors glistening in the sunlight. If you could do it, you couldn't keep from it. So if you can carry out what God tells you to do, what he demands of you by your ability, guess who's going to get the credit for it? You are. I am. Self-confidence. I'm speaking to you as a Christian. Is one of the last things that you'll ever have to give up. As you progress in the school of sanctification, self is always patting you on the back. Always. Self says to you, you're such a good person. Might be compared to others. And self says, that was such a grand, noble, good deed that you did. Look at those that benefited from it. And self says to you, if you just stop and look at all the progress that you've made and are making and what you're becoming in the Lord's service, self keeps patting you on the back. Like the boy's dog, you walk by and she rolls over and wants you to rub her belly, just scratch her. And self's always scratching your itch, patting you on the back. Oh, you don't know it. You don't recognize it. We listen to self without knowing we're listening. And all the time that we're listening to self tell us all these grand things about ourselves, pride swelling up in us, as great as would a 20-foot wave coming off the Atlantic hitting the eastern shores there. And somebody brags on you, and you wear your cloak of great humility. You humbly say, well, only God could enable me to do, and only the grace of God could enable me to become what I've become. And you're so proud that you give God the glory. But pride's swelling because somebody told you how important, how beneficial, how good you are or you were. Self-confidence is rising and growing in you. If you're not careful, you become just like the Jews. So full of self-confidence and self-trust that the Lord Jesus said, you can sit there and brag about being Abraham's children, but if you were the true children of Abraham, you'd be doing the works of Abraham. Or so proud of your accomplishments, you dare look the Lord Jesus in the face and said, all these things, all these commands have I kept from my youth up, knowing down within that you haven't kept one of them as to the spiritual intent of the law of God. Paul said, if any of you out there's got any reason to have confidence in the flesh, I want you to listen to me. And he goes through the steps of, I did. And he was advancing more than any and all in the school that he had graduated from. And you met Saul of Tarsus on the road, you'd find a young man that self-confidence and self-trust just oozed out of his pores. But he met Christ. He saw his glory. He was carried to the third heaven, saw things that it was not lawful for him to speak about. And now, from now on, every time Paul writes or Paul speaks, there is within him such a deep, abiding distrust of himself. As confident as he was prior to, that's all vanished. And a lack of confidence and trust has replaced where confidence and trust was. Now, very quickly, distrust your own wisdom. You thank God for what you do know, you do that. But distrust your wisdom. No one is more feeble and weak than a child of God. And yet a newborn Christian has much seemingly strength in themselves. And the reason you have that is because a great weight and a great burden has been lifted from you. And you feel that you've been delivered, and you have, if you were truly born again, been delivered from the impending doom of judgment. That brings peace, joy, comfort. That weight having been lifted, and you now wrongly suppose that all of a sudden, since that which weighed you down has been lifted, you now wrongly suppose all this is of the Lord now, and I'm a strong creature. And you walk away. You get up from that place of repentance, and you walk away with that newfound peace, and you drift off out into life thinking this is how it's going to be from now on. Not too far down the road, you stumble, you fall, you err from the commands of God. Or, not too far down the road, you having maintained an honorable and obedient walk to the Lord, peace that was in has taken the wings of the morning, and you don't know where it's flown to. You can't find it. And so human nature says, well, you need to take up a few extra duties. Get up 10 minutes early. Get in the prayer closet 10 minutes early. Read an extra chapter in your Bible. And do all these things that you were doing prior to you losing that peace and that strength. But the more you try in these things, the deeper the pit becomes that you're trying to work your way out of. So you just quit trying to work your way out of. And you quit trusting in yourself and your efforts. And you run back to the one wherein you received all these things. And you don't trust in your wisdom. You don't trust in your own strength or ability. Again, I'll repeat. At conversion, you thought that you had become very strong and that you could overcome all things. All that was self-confidence. Soon down the road, I hope you've all realized this, but now, you can't conquer one wrong thought. It'll swell in your heads. It'll begin with some off-the-wall thought flying in your direction, and you'll grab it and you'll hold on to it. But you don't want to hold on to it. You won't let it go because it's dragging you down. Well, quit trusting in your own strength. Give up self-confidence that you can do these things. Give up self-trust that if you set your mind to it, then right thoughts can originate up here. They can't. You're helpless. You are powerless. And the great apostle said, I have no confidence in the flesh. I distrust me. And lastly, and I could keep on and on with these things, distrust your own righteousness. Doesn't matter who pats you on the back, who tells you what a good job you've done. No matter if it's family, friends, or yourself talking in your ear. Distrust your own righteousness, because one day you're going to find out you don't have any. Not a self. None. And you're going to find out that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I've got no reason to trust in my righteousness. Well, you've made a lot of progress, preacher, in the last 48 years. I've made no progress in the school of self becoming righteous. You take all your good works and all your deeds and all your righteousnesses, and you pull them up alongside of the spotless, pure, holy Son of God. And your righteousness, they'll look like a used to be white cloth that's been washed 100 times, left out in the sun, and it's all yellow. But you don't know it's yellow till you pull up another new white piece of cloth. I have no confidence. If Paul, of all men on the face of the earth, said, I have no confidence in my flesh, then that should take from all of us self-confidence, self-trust, and put us back before God. In need of all things. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. If you got it, and it's right, it came from the Lord. If you think it, and it's right, it came from the Lord. If you were able to push it aside and not let it have place in your head, it was from the Lord. And having no confidence in the flesh, then neither should I or you.